Glad you showed up.
How are you?
Psalm 37. We are looking at moments, God, me, something like that. I don't tell you, don't miss your moment. Moments in God, something like that. About moments and God and me. Does that make sense? Psalm 37. And we're preparing for our annual retreat. Arguably our most important meeting of the year. So when I saw a broadcast one time for camp meeting, I saw a major meeting, most important. I shook my head and I said, nah. So I asked them to rewrite it. Because all of our meetings stems from this one. Every meeting we do in this church stems from this very meeting. I remember I started organizing meetings December as a teenager. So you can look at how far back that is. I've not been a teenager in a while. I'm 16 though, amen. And I used to organize that word conference. I know Bray, I was, you attended the word conference before? Yeah. I used to organize it in December. So it's called word conference. Sister Mo, you've been there too? Alright, good. But you were a teenager at that time, maybe? Now she's no longer a teenager. She's, yeah. teenager, okay? She's not a teenager. You can see the belly now. She's not a teenager. You know, so, I used to organize a word conference. What we do there is pray and we share God's word and basically stir fire. And I was asking Brother David today, I said, are you ready to catch fire? Something like that. It's a T.L. Osborne phrase. Amen. T.L. Osborne's good. Look at him and say, are you ready to catch fire? Amen. And I was just saying what T.L. Osborne was saying, but that's nice. So it's an important meeting. And like I shared on Sunday, sometimes we attend meetings and we don't go with anything. And it's not God's fault. Jacob woke up from that dream and said, the Lord was here and I did not know it. And you wonder, how many times have I gone for meetings and the Lord was there and I did not know it? So it means it's possible that a man goes somewhere and God is there, right there, and he doesn't know. Not just that he doesn't know, he did not experience. And I said that to say this. When you go for meetings, you must have expectations. Don't just show up to mark attendance. You must have expectations. This is what I want to get out from this. This is where I want God to step in. You must write them down. And say, you know what? God, this is what I want you to do. They say you do all things. They say you are the Almighty God. Now fix this one. That's how to attend meetings of this kind. That's how to attend meetings of this kind. Often I'm going to share in the lines of retreat. What I tell people is that it's literally shaped my life. This meeting we're talking about. I can't count on my two fingers the things I have asked God for in retreat and he has done. That means there are more than 10. I can't count on my two hands the things I have asked God. I go into those meetings and I say, you know what, this one. Every year I ask God, you know what, I want to teach better. And sometimes you think, you've heard the, even as a preacher, sometimes you think, oh, I've preached the best sermon. And then God just reminds you, I answer prayers. That's not it. And so, you keep going from strength to strength. But your strength to strength will be inched with your desire. Don't just go to meetings and just hang like that. So, Psalm 37. That's where we are, yeah? Verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Tell somebody, say, rest in the Lord. You must learn to rest. So rest in the Lord. In verse 3, you're ready to trust in the Lord. In verse 4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord. In verse 5, it says, commit your way unto the Lord. Then verse 7, it says, rest in the Lord. What a way to highlight the things to do. It says, rest in the Lord. Then it goes ahead, it says, and wait patiently for him. How you rest in the Lord, how you get that rest, is to wait patiently. Wait patiently for him. And we're going to look at, I don't know if it's on Sundays or Wednesdays, mixed up in my head. I told you, I said, the waiting on the Lord is not what a lot of people call it. Sometimes we think waiting on the Lord is, I'll just stay there. Waiting on the Lord is everything but keeping quiet. It's everything but Inactivity. No, it's not inactivity. Last week I told you that in the Hebrew language, to wait on the Lord mimics a woman in labor. You've been to labor what before? Anyone? You've seen people give birth before anyone? Hands up. They allowed you inside. You saw as person was giving birth. Not labor, you are part of the wood. You know? Just walking up and down. You are there in the ward, in the labor room. Let me say, yeah, good. You have to be a medical practitioner for that to happen. How do you allow you? Are you nuts? Doesn't give birth in the house. That's not a labor ward. That's a labor house. And I asked you, I said, how many times when a woman is giving birth, the woman will ask, so what's the time now? I have not seen a woman ask. Who entered? Election. Who entered? Did Trump enter? Who won the election? Has Arsenal won the Champions League? A pregnant woman in labor does not have time for that. The only thing in her mind, this baby must come out. That is how to wait on the Lord. It's a refined focus to just one thing. Nothing else matters in that moment. Everything that matters to us is the moment the child will come out. That's what it means to wait on the Lord. Nothing else matters than what you're waiting for. I also give you an analogy of hunting. If you've ever done hunting before, or you watch videos of people hunting, that's how to wait on the Lord. And then you wait for the animal. You try the first ones. The deer. We sang a song like the earlier on. As the deer pants for the waters. It does not just pant for the waters, it can run. If you're not running in the wild, the circle of life, you'll be at the center. And so, what do hunters do? They don't go confront the deer and say, I want to kill you. And they will chase the deer. You can't outrun the animal. So what do? You stay in wait. And wait for that moment. You wait for the moment. I don't know how to hunt. But just picture in your head that I shoot animals. Maybe with camera. Amen. So, you wait. And then the moment the animal is not looking, unaware, you shoot. Don't mind the word play. You shoot. Amen. That's how to wait on God. Almost as though you want to trap God. Almost as though you want to hunt God down. You're waiting for the moment. For the moment. And last week we began to look at Elijah and Elisha. I told you, one of the people I love most in the scriptures is Elijah. I love him. Sometimes, if you read Paul too much, you might get lost on the directness of Elijah. But Paul took Elijah. Small. Remember that time where he was preaching and someone was saying, and Paul got the person blind, and when he was done, he opened the eyes back. Is it Jesus you want to put down on that? If they say you want to do it as that of prophets, would you go to a state? I tell you before you think of anything, Elijah. Amen. God called Elijah. There was an event. The prophets of Baal brought a lot of things. Elijah said, let the God answer us by fire. Let him be God. Agree, deal or no deal? They said, deal. Elijah called down fire. Fire licked the water. Licked the sacrifice. Everything became real. You'd have thought that is the beginning of revival. The entire Israel will now bow to God. No. Jezebel stood up and said, really? That's what you do? I'll kill you. And so the prophets with fire started running. How many times are we like that? The prophet with fire on the run. You just call down fire on Baal. How come Jezebel gets you running? And he went wide. Said, God, I am the only prophet left. God, is this what you do? All your prophets are gone. Only me. Only I. That's what Elijah said. Only I am left in Israel. And God said, You have not been updated. 7,000 men have not bowed to Baal. And they are equal prophets like you. There are 7,000. Give me that Facebook handle. And God said, you know what? Looks like you're getting tired. But for the time your assignment will be done, I'll give you someone to assist you. And he'll take over from you. So Elijah, he left the rock. Now bold enough. And as he went, he saw a little man, young man, Elisha. He threw his mantle. Elisha got it. Elisha left his oxen and everything and followed. Close to the end of Elijah's reign. Let's put it like that. assignment. Elisha asked for a double portion. Now look up. You cannot give a double portion when you have one. So, all you've got is 1 million naira in your account. Then someone says, I need 2 million naira. You're going to be asking, from where? All I've got is 1 million myself. Me that you are looking for, that you're looking up to, your mentor, your everything. All I have is one. And it shows how Elisha was reasoning. You must ask for what only God can give. As we prepare for that meeting, next week, Wednesday, this time next week, Wednesday, we are not here. Ask for what only God can give. On Sunday, we said, you must learn to dare God. You must learn to dare God. Elisha said, I've seen what you have done, Elijah. I want double. You can't give it. It's not you. But the passcode is in Elijah's mouth. Elijah said, if you can see me taking up moments, if you can see me taking up, that's fine. Elijah said, just that. Let's go. So Elijah said, what I said, okay, I'm coming. I want to use the loo. That's the restroom. That's the toilet. So we got ladies. Whatever that means. Don't use the ladies. Are you a ritualist? So, Elijah said, I want to use the toilet. Elijah said, where are you now? Why are you following me? Ah, moment. I can't miss my moment. That's what Elisha said. If it is in the toilet, okay, I will see you go. So Elijah came out. Elisha, what are you doing there? I was peeping. I was peeping to see you go. Midnight. Elijah is sleeping. Elijah goes. Then he wakes up and he sees Elisha staring at him like this. Sir, you were sleeping fine just now. What? Creepy! Don't worry, sir. All is well and good. I will see you go. So he kept following him. Elijah went to about 4 cities. Imagine following someone from Ibadan to Lagos. From Lagos to Ekpe. From Ekpe to Seme. You're not stopping. They kept mocking him. He didn't stop. Then they saw Elijah go. And true to God's word, it means what it says. God never fails. The mantle dropped on Elisha. What do you take from there? There are moments that will not repeat themselves. Elisha will never see Elijah again. No matter what you want to do, no matter what you want to say, no matter the kind of prayer he prays, if Elijah, you go to Mount Hebron, from Hebron to Zion, from Zion to Sinai, from Sinai, you go to Jerusalem, Jerusalem to Bethlehem, he will never see Elijah again. God has put his entire ministry in that moment. In one moment. You will not miss your moment. We saw with Moses, the burning bush in Exodus 3. God waited 80 years to show Moses that. And how strong Moses' experience was in ministry. 40 years he was ministering and leading Israel. Moses never saw a burning bush again. He never had the burning bush experience where God was speaking from the midst of the fire. He never had it again. There are things that will not repeat themselves. Are you with me tonight? Are you with me tonight? I remember this particular story. I've forgotten the pastor. So he wanted to go meet T.L. Osborne. I've forgotten the pastor. So he scheduled to go see T.L. Osborne. I think it was. So let's say I'm scheduling 3 weeks to go see T.L. Osborne. Now, if you know T.L. Osborne, T.L. Osborne is one of the greatest healing ministers ever. Not just healing, teaching. Ever, including Paul. One of the greatest ever, T.L. Osborne. But let's leave that one. And so the man scheduled, let's say, 3 weeks time. But somehow, God kept just, impressions were so strong, so he changed it to a week. So he was going to just go. And then he said, whatever, if they don't allow me to see him, I know it's fine, but God's just leading me. So he went there, I think 2 weeks before, 2 weeks instead of 3 weeks. So he went there, And he said, you don't have a meeting scheduled with T.L.S. Brown. And he said, God let me here. He said, God let you here. Okay. So they allowed him in. He met with the man. The man laid hands on him. He's a very popular minister. I just don't want to mix the name. That's why I did not mention any name. It was Benny Hinn. No, someone. So T.L.S. Brown laid hands on him. And that was it. So he went back to his country. T.L.S. Brown died the next day. And when he was sharing it, I can't remember. It's either Benny Hinn or someone. And I was looking at it. You can't see T.L.S. Brown again until that day. And by that day, you would not need the healing gift. No one is going to be passing anyone. You see Paul, you shake and say, I don't need the healing gift. You see Brother Akin, you don't need the healing gift. They revered again. You don't need laying of hands. I won't be your pastor in that day. Hallelujah. This is where you need me. This is where you need impartation. Yeah. What would have happened? He would have eventually gone 3 weeks later and he would have told him, T.L.S. Brown is dead. He would have probably heard. Moments. Life is about moments. I remember Pastor Adebo, he went to Tulsa to meet with Brian again. And Brogan gave him a prophecy. If you have watched the documentary, Brogan told him, said, do not despise the days of little beginnings. I'm probably telling someone here today. Do not despise the days of little beginnings. Though your beginning may be small. That was the prophecy Brogan gave Pastor E. Adeboye. Though your beginning may be small, your later end shall greatly increase. 1985. The later end is greatly increasing or not? Huh? Moments. Since that time, he has not had the opportunity to have Brogan give him a word again. Brogan would not readily minister outside the US. He only did that twice. Life is about moments. God puts our encounters with him in moments. He puts moments in himself for us all. And sometimes, one encounter is enough. Sometimes just one. Sonny, I was sharing with you. I was sharing the man who had been by the pool of Bethsaida for 38 years. One of the most fascinating stories in the Bible for me. One of the most fascinating. I told you I'm growing up now. I have this vivid memory of picturing things a lot. I like to picture things. I imagine things fast. And I can see the man, 38 years, 1, 2, 3, 4. Some of you are not 38. And you wonder, this man had been dead 38 years. 38 years. Waiting for the water to stay. That means he has seen people healed and they've gone. He has seen people who they were there together and just one day just said, maybe they've waited for 12 years. Some who were here for 12 years, sorry, is the person, will you blame him? No, come on, talk. 12 years, will you blame the person? Nah. And then I just carried his bed. And the family has come to carry him. So there's nothing in this water. It might never be our turn. It might never be our moment. He has seen another one that did not get discouraged in 12 years, but got discouraged in 25 years. 25 years is a long time. The man had been there, waiting. And I asked myself one question. Look up. What if the day Jesus came, he went to buy food? We will not have the story. We will not know he missed this moment. And that's why I've taught you before. Even in a church meeting, try as much as possible not to go out. There are people who just have a very strange habit. Just standing up and walking about. Finally, you're going, moments. Moments. Yeah, now gone. Jesus came. Does anybody have you to put in water? No. Nobody has, no. What do you want? Nobody has, it's what you want. Rise up, take your bed and walk. That was it. 38 years and it took less than 5 minutes. He was up. God puts moments in himself for us all. You will not miss yours. Yeah. We'll be guided. We'll be praying. We'll be listening to instructions. We'll edify one another. We'll have times of joy. We'll have times of singing. You know, we have time this year. Who think? Who have Holy Ghost meetings? There's nothing you don't see. Ensure you're waiting for the moment. Ensure you are always on alert. Ensure you're seeing the open door. 2025 for us is the year of an open door. Amen. Ensure your eyes are active to see the open door right in front of you. Hallelujah. 38 years. In Acts chapter 9, you won't miss your moment. Saul, breathing out, verse 1, threatens and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord. He went to the high priest. This is Saul who became Paul. And he desired of them letter to Damascus, to the synagogue. He found his way, blah, 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 blah. As he journeyed, verse 3, he came near Damascus. Suddenly, there was a light around him from the heaven. And he fell to the earth. And he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, sir? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And trembling and astonished, he said, Lord, what will you have me do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city. You will be told what you will do. And we see that this just one encounter of Paul with Jesus changed his entire life. From that place, the person that Jesus told, arise and go into the city, that was half of the New Testament working. From killing and slaughtering Christians, he became the writer of half of the New Testament. Paul said, I have done more than all the apostles put together. You don't get that one. Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Nathaniel, everybody, he said, put them together. He said, I have labored more than all of them put together. It's not me. It is Acts 9. He said, yet not me. It is the grace of God that he gave me. That grace is a moment. Just one meeting. And a man that was doomed to be one of the greatest persecutors of Christianity, became the one that planted all the churches in Asia. He became the one that brought to us Timothy, Philemon, Titus, Onesimus, Epaphroditus, Epaphras. That's Paul. Barnabas, Silas, Mark, that wrote the book of Mark. That is Paul. Luke was his disciple. Moments changes everything. It gives a man direction. That people who are living in lack of clarity, it's almost as though you're living in obscure darkness. The only thing you just know is the next day will come. And it's as though you don't even know what life holds. When people tell you 5 years, 3 years time, you're just wondering, can we just go to the next day? And it appears like you don't know what's next. Your moment is here. Amen. Oh Lord God of seasons. Oh Lord God of events. God of moments. God of moments. It's my time. Half of the New Testament was born. Some of us are right here and we don't know, we don't have an idea how much God wants to do through us. We don't have an idea. Reinhard Bonnke said when God called him, you know, he thought it was going to be like, he called it like a cell fellowship. He said so, what he just did was, he gathered some people at his band, and then they were just talking, said they would ask questions, and then they would just share together. That's the entire Africa starting. That's people hearing God's word in Ekiti. That's people hearing God's word in Togo, in Lome. That's people in all of Africa. The man is gone. The work remains. But it started with moments. We must learn to cherish what God is doing in meetings. Are you with me tonight? Paul had no idea, but that meeting was enough. Oh Lord God, I won't waste this meeting. You know, we have prayed. We have prayed. God is ready. God is ready. I know that one for sure. The instructions I'm writing down. Oh my, my. Oh my, my. God is ready. Are you? No, God is. He's waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting. In Luke 24. Luke chapter 24. I'll show you something. So we can have enough time to pray. So, you know the story of Luke 24. Jesus died. His disciples were sad. Normal. even if you're not spiritual, you'll be sad. Someone that gives you food every day, you know, when you want to pay tax, brings out money from the mouth of a fish. When, from no food, suddenly there's 12 loaves free, 12 baskets full to take home, probably to start business. If they kill him, I will cry. Amen. Amen. You got to cry. But they were sad because they thought he was going to be the one that would deliver Israel. He was going to be the one that would deliver Israel. And they were sad. Verse 11 says, and their word seems to them like hardy tales. So the women came and said, they have seen him. He has risen from the dead. But they believed them not. Verse 12. Then arose Peter. He ran to the sepulchre. That's the word. He ran. That's passion. That's how to do God's work. He ran to the sepulchre. And stooping down, he beheld the lining laid by themselves and departed. Jesus did something. He actually folded the clothes. Amazing. He rose again. And he folded the clothes so that you know that it's not a mistake. So he folded the clothes that they used to wrap him. He folded it. And placed it at the tomb. Statement. That's a statement. I love the Lord. You arguably see someone who gives you a better response than Jesus. How else do you prove that you're an action man? You rose from the dead. Folded clothes. Neatly. They didn't steal this body. And he put it there. Peter saw it. He saw the linen. Verse, wondering himself what has come to pass. Verse 13. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together about the things that had happened. And it came to pass. So, two people are talking. And it came to pass, verse 15, that while they were talking together and reason, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know. Now, verse 17 says, he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that you are having with one another? And why are you sad? Now, their eyes were open. You can look at it from different angle. Did God actually hold them from seeing so that we could have these details? Did their sadness hold them back from seeing him? Or was he just too mad and beaten? Mad, M-A-R-R-E-D. Not mad. Was it just too disfigured by the beating and hell? Hell is not easy, is it? Even there? Alright, so, was he just too disfigured that they could not recognize him? Anyone, but they could not recognize him. So he drew near to them. And they must have wondered, this person looks like Jesus. So. See his hand. His hand looks like something like a torn loaves of bread. Like a multiplied loaves of bread. Is he Jesus? Is he not Jesus? So, let's forget, Jerry. Let's talk about what's going on. And he asked them, what's going on? Why are you sad? Put in mind, why are you sad? Let that sad somewhere. We're coming back to it. As I was preparing for, as I was writing this note, God told me something about that sad, just that sad. And we'll talk about it. He said, why are you sad? And they're wondering, who is this one that does not read the Insta blog? He said, have you not heard about the criminal death that he gave to Jesus of Nazareth? You know Jesus of Nazareth? He said, kinda. I have an idea who is. I have an idea of who is me. You've not heard. They killed him. They killed him. He's not meant to be like that. And we know he's like he's the Messiah. And began to preach to them. In verse 25. He said to them, O fools and slow of hearts, to believe all the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he began to explain to them in all the scriptures the thing concerning himself. And as they drew near to the village where they went, he made as though he would have gone further, like he was going somewhere. But they constrained him and saying, it is late. Why not just stay with us? The day is far spent. And he went in and he tarried with them. Now, put your eyes on the ball now. Verse 30. And it came to pass, as he sat at food with them, he took bread and blessed it. As he took bread, memories. And he said, hey, the way he even handled the bread. He took bread. He broke it. The moment he just blessed it and gave to them, he said, their eyes were open. Verse 31. And their eyes were open and they knew him. Immediately, he vanished out of their sight. And they said to one another, can we read verse 32 together? In our hearts, so let's visit the story again. They were sad. In fact, some of the disciples had gone back to their work, fishing. And that paints a vivid picture of some Christians. No passion. We believe everything is over. No open ministry. Nothing. The only thing is that we just ruminate over the past experiences. Ah, Jesus. The way he multiplied their bread, the way he healed that sick. We have no hope as though it's going to continue. But a meeting with him changes everything. It looked like there was no direction for them. Then he comes. Like we sang in that song. Into your temple. Come, come. Your church is waiting. Oh Lord, come. My soul is waiting. Lord, come. There he comes. He comes amongst them. And he opened their hearts. And what did they say? Did our heart not burn within us? Look up. Did our heart not burn within us? That means the cure to a passionless Christian living is a meeting with Jesus. One meeting makes your heart burn. If I see that I'm not as passionate, I'm not burning for the Lord as I ought to, guess what I need? I don't need to cry about it. I need one meeting. Say one meeting.
One meeting.
Hey, say one meeting.
One meeting.
One meeting with Jesus cures passionless living. We trust to meet with you, Jesus. Oh my God, we trust to meet with you. We trust to meet with you. Oh, we trust to meet with you. You said we should come together. You said we should gather. Oh Lord God. Oh Lord God. People receive direction when they meet with you. See Paul. What must I do? He said, you will go into that city. You will be told what to do. Then immediately he told Ananias, go and meet Paul. See, direction. Life begins to have purpose. It begins to have meaning. Just one encounter. Just one meeting. And Paul's life changed. One meeting. Peter just gave him his boat now. He went to work like every other day. He was trying to catch fish. Fish did not come. And Jesus said, can I just make use of a boat for cell meeting? He said, no problem. It's not like we are doing anything. It's not like we have caught anything. From that, Peter's life just changed. He's the one that is celebrated all around the world now. You call him Saint Peter. This is Saint Peter Church. Saint, one meeting. We would have not known who Peter was. Take away that experience of him borrowing Jesus' boat. There will be no Peter. Moments change everything. Moments. Are you ready for yours?
Yes, sir.
Moments. He gives your life direction in a moment. That's what he does. Sicknesses leave. When people meet with him, sicknesses leave. We saw that with the woman with the issue of blood. She seized that moment. Issue of blood for 12 years. 12 years is a long time to get used to any sickness. 12 years is a long time to start saying, that's my, you know that my, 12 years is a long time enough. It means, how many sets of medical students? 12. Someone who finished medical school 12 years ago. You would have started a senior residency. Yeah. And then you're wondering. The woman still has it. But she said, nah. I'm going to press in the crowd. And I'm going to seize my moment. This crowd cannot stop me. This crowd. No. This one is my moment. She had every excuse to go back home. She had every excuse to say, you know what? That meeting has failed. That cell has failed. Let's be sincere. Let me just tell myself the truth. This thing cannot work the way I thought it will work. Maybe I'm not cut out for this. She had every excuse. I'm smelling. How will I go into the crowd? I'm stained. Okay, maybe I should go home and change. No, I said, nah. This is the moment. They said Jesus can heal, right? They said he can heal. I'm going to press in the crowd. I'm going to get my healing. In retreat, 2024. Sicknesses will disappear. We are not practicing Gen Z Christianity here. sicknesses will disappear. Whether it's been there for long, whether it's been there for short, whether I just got there last week, whether it's planning to come there next year, in the name of Jesus, we are going to trump over sicknesses and diseases. Amen. Cancerous growth will go down.
Amen.
That's what happens when people meet with Jesus. Sicknesses go. Hearts are restored to their proper condition.
Oh Lord, God of moments.
Direction. Healings. God of moments. 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 Hey. Yes, that's what you do. That's what you do. That's what you do. Oh, that's what you do. That's what you do. That's what you do. Direction. Provision happens in your moments. You know, provision happens in your moments. Oh, provision happens in your moments. Peace. Peace comes in your moments. Did our hearts not burn within us? Why he spoke to us the word? Look at what happened. From, why are you sad? It came to, our hearts are jumping. Our hearts are leaping. You must have found it in your Christian experience before. There are times where you just pray and then it looks like, ah, can I just continue praying? Can I just go ahead? I just want to serve God. Then I said, that's what's happening to us now. It means depression can go in this moment. You know that thought of it's just cloud over your head and then it's just dark and you know and then he said, Jesus saying, what conversation are you having? Why are you sad? He's asking, what conversation is this you are having and you are sad? What you need is a moment. Will you give him that moment? They invited him in. They gave him their moment. They gave him their time. They seized the moment. And he said, you know what? Your heart is going to burn. That's what he said. Forget that sadness. That one's gone. Never again. Never again will your heart be troubled. The peace of God that surpasses human understanding is yours. Oh Lord of moments. Oh Lord of moments. Oh Lord of moments. Your peace is mine. Your peace is mine. Your passion is mine. Your passion is mine. Play for me as I close. Play for me. Moments. Moments. No oppression survives your moments. Jesus, he told his disciples in Matthew 12, he said, when you see demons cast out, you will know that the kingdom of God has come to you. That's what he told them. He said, when demons are cast out, the kingdom of God is then come to you. That happens in encounters. What we are setting ourselves up. We are setting ourselves up for moments. We are setting ourselves up for Jesus to touch. And we are saying boldly that there is no part you cannot touch. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
What have you written down? He's the God of the impossible. He's the God of the hard stuff. When you say this is hard, then God says bring it, it's food. He could have just influenced Pharaoh to turn back. He could have just maybe sand on the face of the horses of Pharaoh, and all of them they will fall down, and and then they will not be able to breathe. And God said, nah, that will not be fun. Moses, you are going to seize your moment now. Stretch forth your hand. Tell Israel, go forward. Tell Israel, go forward. Moses, fall the way into your moment. The sea will give way in your moment. The sea will give way. What you thought was impossible. How do I juggle my 9 to 5 and my career and my, I'm building a business and I want to serve God. I want to raise men for him. Pastor, it's been proving difficult sometimes. My health sometimes. I need to get this drug and that one to ensure that I serve God. And he's saying, trust me with the hard stuff. He's saying, trust me with the hard stuff. He's saying, trust me with the hard stuff. Trust me for clarity. Trust me for direction. Trust me for peace in your heart. What conversation is this you have here and you are sad? What conversation is this you are having and you are sad? How come you don't know that what you need is me? And when he was done with them, they said, did our hearts not leap? Oh, retreat. We are going to come out and say, did our hearts not burn within us? Did our hearts not burn within us? Oh yes, Lord. Oh yes, Lord. Suddenly their sadness was replaced with passion. Addiction turned to spiritual growth. Jesus does something to people. He does something to people, I'm telling you. He does something to people. Something you might not be able to explain in English. Jesus does something to people. Imagine someone who, all his life, he has made up his mind that I'm going to kill Christians. When they were stoning Stephen, Paul was the one that carried their bag. He was the one that said, don't worry, none of your property will get lost. I am here. If you're for here, we will kill these guys. Jesus does something to people. The same man risked his life. He risked his life. The same man, a viper was fastened to his hands. Just for that same Jesus. The same Jesus was killing people for. Jesus does something to people. Allow him. He does something. Jesus, they say you do something. My heart is open for moments. I know your moments can change everything. Oh. This meeting is my meeting. There's no other voice in my head. I'm waiting. There's no other voice in my head. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for your hand, for your voice. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for your touch. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. All my focus on you, Lord. God, hope you have seen my prayer point. Tell him, God, hope you have seen my prayer point. See, from next week, I'm not coming to waste time. How to be checking is like this. Done. See, some of you will not have to leave that camp. You will not leave that camp till you check everything. Right on that ground, right on that ground, we'll see answers. We'll see healings. You will feel that peace in your heart. You see that heaviness in your head. It will be lifted away. Right in that meeting, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, we trust you. We trust you. Hey, no distractions. My moments are preserved. Jesus came to the house of Mary and Martha. That is God. That's the Almighty God. You've got somewhere to sleep tonight, right? Imagine the Almighty God came not in one witness. Came in flesh. Martha, he came to your house and you are cooking. And you are cooking. Ah. That's a criminal offense. It don't matter. One thing is needful. I choose the needful. I'll wait on God. I wait on God. And my moment will not pass me by. Oh Lord God of answers. 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 We need to pray. Point, Lord. Lord. This war, Molongo. They say you answer prayers. They say you turn things around. They say there is nothing that cannot change when you are in the picture. Here am I for my moment. Here am I for my moment. Oh, pakure teri akure da bashaka da bayagaba. Rubegeregere boso toroboye. I will never be the same again.
My heart will begin to burn. My heart will begin to burn. Questions are answered. Your glory overwhelms me.
Yes, you know what I'm saying.
what needs to be replaced. Wash what needs to be washed. Remove what needs to be removed. Put what needs to be put. What conversations are you and who are sad? What conversations have you and who are sad? Our hearts come within us. Our hearts come within us. The qualities are like this. What conversations? What conversations are empty? What conversations are empty?
That's perfect. I perceive there are about four people who they know what I'm talking about. So what the devil does is he takes away the entire meeting and everything we've been talking about, and he paints a picture that's perfect. I say, this could have been done now. You can actually live like this without this meeting. And like, you start having questions as, must we pray that much before God? Is this how every church does it? Don't fall. If it doesn't mean anything, why is he after that moment? If the meeting is not that important, why are you convincing me otherwise? Nobody throws stones at barren trees. Nobody. Nobody throws sticks at trees that don't have fruit. So when those thoughts come, and it's as though he's trying to lure you away from, and then you begin to see the meeting as less important as it were. And you just have this picture in your head. You know what I'm talking about. I don't ask anyone to raise their hand. But you know what I'm talking about. You see, someone said yesterday, and then you just this picture in your head of, okay, I will still preach. I will even use my social media. I'm talking to someone. You try it. And I'll use my social media. And I still know how to gather people. I'll just do this for Jesus. I don't have to do that, all of that, because of a glorious structure of meetings like this. That's a stick at your fruit. Don't allow it. The moment is near. Moments are preserved. Like I said earlier, one of the things God has told us through Paul, that Paul's encounter. Paul was not 30 when he met Jesus. History has it that he was over 40. But it shows you that sometimes even at 40, 50, we don't have an idea. We don't have the faintest idea of what God wants to do through us. Imagine a 40-year-old man walking, and God told him, and God is telling him, you've not even started. The entire Galatia, Rome, Thessalonica, Philippi, Ephesus, Colossae, they are all yours. And God is telling him, you see those cities? The cities are yours. Those streets are yours. And he's saying, I'm 40. And God said, Moses said, I'm 80. You have no, sometimes we don't have the faintest idea of what God can do through us. That same place where you have been preaching and you think that nothing is moving. That same place. You're going to see a revival. On that same street where you are mocked for laying hands on the sick, you're going to hold meetings and you're going to bring in the sick, and you're going to lay hands, and healings will happen in the name of Jesus. You don't have the faintest idea of what God wants to do. You don't know a thing like this. Abraham was 99 years old. And he didn't have an idea. God told him, he said, like the sand of the sea, like the stars of heaven. He did not have the idea. All he wanted was Isaac. Just give me Isaac, I'm fine. I said, you don't have an idea. Sometimes God is infinitely bigger than our dreams, than our imaginations. We don't have an idea. When he calls an ear, the ear of an open door. Sometimes I don't think we have an idea what he's about to do. He told them, through Prophet Malachi, he said, dare me. He said, dare me, and see if I will not open the windows of heaven. He said, dare me. Dare me if you will not see open heavens. He said, dare me. Dare me if you will not see open heavens. Oh Lord, I dare you. I'm coming with some massive requests. I'm coming with some massive requests. It's for myself. It's for the nations. It's for my disciples. It's for my health. I'm coming in with some requests, Lord. But I know exactly who you are. I know you don't fail. I know exactly who you are. I know exactly who you are. You part this. You part this. You turn water to wine. As I know it's not impossible for you. I keep all of this at mind. I keep them in mind. I keep them in mind. Yeah. I see Israel walking through that sea. Thousands of feet deep. And an entire nation is strolling through. And Pharaoh is saying, what's going on in front? What's going on in front? What's going on in front? What's there? Is that not the sea parting? Is that on the sea parting? Oh, yaga yaga tusa sa. Oh, yaga kutu suge kure kato sa. Skiri buri ba to te lege du tosho. Liburi ta ta yegele gele go sa. Oh Lord, I know I don't have an idea. I know. So do in me what you want. Do. Oh, you are changing me what you want. Oh, you are fixing me what you want. We have 5 minutes to pray. Come into your temple. Church is waiting. Come. My soul is waiting. Bringing everything, loving us to dust. Restoring everything.
Addictions, give way. Depression, give way. Oppression, give way. Sickness, give way. Lord God, yes. By the power of the Almighty God, who yet is the Lord and the fullness thereof, give us out. Bring in everything in obedience to Christ. deliverance amplified. More healing amplified. Amen. Let there be light. Sing for us. Shining in all the nations. Let there be light. Lord, in my life, in myself, in my preaching and teaching, in my life, let there be light somewhere. Sing it like a prophecy.
What the church needs, he says, is light. Light. Like church, light changes everything. Light. The devil hides in the dark. Huh? Huh? That sickness is dark. That lack is in dark. We call for light. We call for light. Oh, light, 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 light. Light, 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 light. Light, light. Woo! Oh, light. Oh, light. Light, imole, 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 loruko Jesu. Imole, loruko Jesu. Okukun parada. What that song again? Imole de o. Okukun parada. Encounter with. That's the person I'm in union with. When he says it happens, he means what he says. He says what he means. He said, let it be light. And I was like, you know how John described it? There are light shone in darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. I like that one. I'll probably take time to explain it better. The light shine in darkness, and the darkness cannot stand it, and darkness does not understand it. There are places where you preach, and the devil has got a stronghold there. The light will shine in darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. Your sicknesses have been there for a while. So from nowhere, your left lower belly, very close to your groin, and it aches from time to time. Sometimes every 4 days. Sometimes you just don't expect it. Sometimes you say it's because of stress. Who is that person? Come, let me pray for you. In the name of Jesus, you're healed. In the name of Jesus, you're healed. In the name of Jesus, you're healed. In the name of Jesus, you are 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 healed. The light shines in darkness. Come. In the name of Jesus, you are healed. Light shines in darkness. God likes to mock darkness. Why can't the light just go and shine? Why can't the Pharaoh just go back? No. He likes he's the God of show off. Why not just bring wine? Why not just send your disciple? Let the wine just come from somewhere. Let them bring it to the party. God said, no, that will not be no fine. That will not be so fun. How about we turn water? How about we get water? How about we make it from the impossible? You see, how God had that juggle my career, and then he gives you a bigger job, a bigger work in natural, and you still are passionate about ministry, and the devil can lick his wounds. You know, then he gives you a bigger role. He said, watch how you will burn. He likes to show off. That's exactly what he does. Why wait for Abraham to be 99 years? And Sarah's womb to be dead. Just so that he can show us the resurrection. God of the hard stuff. God of the weird, weird things. Why wait for Abraham to be 99? But he shows off. And he looks for life to do that with. He looked at everybody. And he said, I'm going to use an illiterate fisherman. Call it anything you want. I will make an illiterate fisherman. He will lead the entire world into my kingdom. So you, the fisherman, you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and in all the uttermost part of the earth. Let the devil do anything about it. Let me see. It makes a show with our life. It makes a show with our lives. Why did God just not crumble Jericho wall and let them pass? Why do you have to disgrace the devil like that? Trumpet. How does trumpet make a wall go down? And they are singing and they are dancing. And God said, that's exactly how I will bring the wall down. Where's the caterpillar? Where's the bulldozer? God said, Bukene. If there is a bulldozer, then we don't have to show. How are we going to show off? The light will shine in the darkness. In the darkness. So the darkness can see it, but we never understand it. God likes to show. He made Goliath. He made him make mouth for 3 days. I will kill Israel. I will destroy them. He said, watch. Watch what I will do. He said, is it going to be by a sword? He said, sword care. That's obvious. Is it going to be by arrow? He said, arrow is powerful. I'm going to use a stone. The entire heaven said, stone. Are you ready for 2025? I'm going to use stone. Say, okay, Saul, we go, because Saul has skill. Saul has been in the army. By the time he wields the stone, it's going to be a massive stone. But said, Saul, okay, I have one shepherd boy somewhere. One shepherd boy somewhere. He does not even understand the shepherd work yet. That shepherd work, he doesn't understand it yet. Last time I killed a lion for him, he's the one I want to use. You know, past 5'5". He's yet to develop. Puberty has not finished with him. He's the one I want to use for Goliath. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot say a thing. Is that how you live? Huh? That's how we move. Huh? Eh? As we encounter God. You know, that's how we move. In our ministry, in our careers, in our health, in our family. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot say a thing. That's how we move. That we roll. The light shines in darkness. that is hereditary. Every family has it. No, your mom had it, your great grandma had it, your grandma had it, your great grandma had it. Even I heard that, even some of your aunties. The light shines in darkness. And the darkness cannot comprehend it. The darkness doesn't understand it. Oh Lord, we are ready. You're ready? You're ready? You are ready? You want that moment? You are going to have it. You have it. You have it. You have it. Oh Lord God, thank you, God. Give him praise. Bless his name. Oh, we'll see you on the mountain.